morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be in church this morning. It's lovely to see your faces, some faces I haven't seen for a while. Thank you for coming to church on a long weekend when it's cold and it's wet. I want to read a message from Pierre. For those of you who don't know, Pierre is our lead elder and senior pastor. He's away in Manila, where he's doing a study intensive because he's doing his master's in theology. And in this church, we really value study, biblical study, and getting to know his word better. So he says, I just attended Victory Church. That's the name of the Every Nation Church in Manila. And the sermon was on Acts chapter 19, which is all about Paul's visit to Ephesus. And of course, we're going through our series on Ephesians. So great to hear it again and pray for every nation, Helderberg. Praying for this morning, may it be blessed. Tell the people I love and miss them dearly. Okay, so when you see Pierre in a couple of weeks' time, please tell him we love you and we miss you too. Well, we did miss you when you were away. I also want to read a scripture this morning from our devotional this morning. This is the devotional that Philippa and I are doing with Lectio 365. It's part of the 24/7 prayer movement, and it's really brought about revival in our personal devotionals. We do this every morning. A guy called Pete Gregg, we absolutely love this devotional. Here's some amen. Some of you guys do it. It's really, really brilliant. So Lectio 365, look for the app. He read this morning from Psalm 103, which is the New Living Translation. His unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the heights of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. So beautiful. So anyway, so my name's Anthony, and I've got the pleasure and privilege of sharing with you this morning. And my great Father's Day gift is I have both my children with me this morning. And it was such a treat to have Dominic back from Cape Town. So Philippa and I are so blessed to be a family of four. And Anika's sitting with us as well. And just a little bit more about myself, because maybe I don't introduce myself very much. So I've worked at the same place for 25 years, a bank called Investec, and I've been married for a little bit longer than that. Philip and I are celebrating our 27th year this year, and it's just glorious to grow as a couple, to be changed by one another and by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and to be on that journey together. And of course, that's what we're talking about in our study of Ephesians, is having a walk worthy of the calling to which he has called us. Talking about years, I've been a part of this church movement because we've been living in Somerset West for 14 years. But I've been part of the Every Nation, and before that, His People Church movement for, I think now, 32 and a half years. So I've been part of this family for a long time. But what I can tell you is I've never enjoyed and loved my local church as much as I do now. So I hope that you find that as well, that you experience not just love, but brotherly affection in this church. And especially for those of you who are new, and I hope this isn't too weird, but sir, I noticed you stick up your hand earlier that you're here for the first time, and I've got a prophetic word for you, which is really that you are welcome here. And to all of those who are new and all of those who are old, you are welcome here. And I felt that, I felt the Holy Spirit remind me of that scripture in Revelations chapter 3 where Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open the door to me, I will come in and eat with you and you with me. And I feel like the Lord saying, I am the Lord and I am God. But more than that, I want you to know that I'm your father and your friend. So on this Father's Day, I felt like the Lord wanted to open his heart and express the love of him as a father to you. So welcome and enjoy. Okay, so we're doing Ephesians. We love Ephesians, and this morning we are doing, we're reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16, and we've come to this great hinge in the letter. So in chapter 3, he says, for this reason, and then he goes on and he says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. And so we've got the past, the first three chapters, where he talks about this wonderful blessing. And now he says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, this is verse 1, which Matt took us through last week. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to have a walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 are really about how we live out this walk together. So let's read together, and I'm reading from the ESV. Let's read the scripture. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Father, we thank you for this beautiful letter, and we pray, Lord, as we look at this scripture, this portion of your word, your wonderful, beautiful word that causes us to grow. We pray, Lord God, that you speak to us and you reveal to us, Lord, your heart, which is that we would grow to become more like your children, that we would grow up in Christ. Amen. And that's the title of my sermon this morning, is Grow Up. And it's very biblical, because there it is. It says we are to grow up. But Paul makes this exhortation very gently. So I'm not saying grow up. I'm saying let's all grow up together. Okay, so I'm talking about that growing up. So we spoke about chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, there's a high standard. Peter says in his second letter, chapter 1, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has granted us all things that we need to enable us to grow up. Let me take a step back because I'm messing it up. Okay, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence. So he's calling us up to the standard of glory and excellence. That's the benchmark to which we are heading, and none of us is there yet. And none of us in this lifetime, we'll get there, but we will grow up towards that. And when we get to heaven, and when we are transformed from perishable to imperishable, from mortal to immortality, then we'll get there. But this is the joy, that we get to grow up on this journey, on this walk, that we walk with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. So then he talks about these gifts to the church. The gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherd, and the teacher. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this. Excuse me while I just find my notes, because I've got lots of pieces of paper and this table isn't really big enough for me. Right, okay. Christ's gift to the church. Now, the point that I want to make here is, sorry, I'm missing my piece of paper. I do have a lot of these pieces of paper this morning. Okay. Can't quite find it. All right. I want to talk a little bit about what these gifts are. They're absolutely essential, but these aren't the only gifts that Jesus gives to the church. But the gift of the apostle, the gift of the prophet, the gift of the evangelist, the gift of the shepherd or the pastor, and the gift of the teacher are absolutely essential for the church to do what it must do, which is to grow up and to build itself up in love. Now, the apostle is the one that leads from the front, that is involved in church planting. We are a church planting movement. Our statement of faith is we exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches. That's what we do. And the apostles lead from the front, and they are the one that raise. They are the ones that raise up leaders, because you can't plant churches without leaders. So that's what the apostles do. The prophets provide strategic and spiritual direction. They hear from the Lord, and in particular around often things around timing. Okay, now do this, now do that. Because we know all the things that we're supposed to do, but sometimes we're not so clear on the timing. And the prophets help us, and they direct us, and they lead us. And of course, you know what the evangelists do. The evangelists promote the preaching of the gospel. It's not just that they do it themselves, but they preach and they train and they prepare and they model, and we follow in their footsteps. And the shepherd or the pastor cares for the flock, and the teacher, of course, teaches. So we have these positions, these people, but it's not just that the gifts are given to individual people. The gifts are given to teams as well. I want to tell you that in this church, we're not hung up about labels and titles. But as a team of elders, deacons, staff, we express those. So it may be that Marla leads in the area of being prophetic, and Henry and Melindy lead in the area of being pastoral, and Matt leads in the area of being a teacher and teaching and expressing that gift to the church. And Pierre and Pastor Linda from Zolo, they lead in the apostolic, but we do it together as a team. So I know that in the contemporary church, we hear a lot about apostle so-and-so and prophet so-and-so. For me, I like to see that more in the team context, where we do these things together. I want to read, if we just flip back a little bit in Ephesians, there's some talk about the apostles and the prophets in particular. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, "The household of God is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." And then in chapter 3, verse 5, it says that the mystery of Christ, which was not made known previously, has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Can I propose that there's a distinction between those apostles and prophets and modern day apostles and prophets? So I believe that we need apostles and prophets in the church now, and they're essential for the growth of the church. But we do not need people to be the foundation of the church, which has been thriving for 2,000 years already, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. We don't need new foundations, because we already have the foundation that Paul and James and John and Peter and other laid. And we don't need mysteries to be revealed, because we have the epistles, we have the New Testament, we have the Word, the New Testament, which complements the Old Testament. So we have this now. So when you hear from someone, you know, "I'm an apostle so-and-so, I'm a prophet so-and-so, and God's spoken to me, and I have new revelation, and you dumb pew warmers who don't hear from God need to follow me," then be careful. Paul speaks about so-called super apostles that are actually false apostles. And he speaks about false prophets. How do you know a false apostle or a false prophet? Most often because they insist on being called apostle or prophet. So that's one to watch out for. As I said, we're not stuck on labels and titles in our church. I want to read from Matthew chapter 23. Listen to the words of Jesus, where he says, let's find it. says, he's talking to the crowds and his disciples. Matthew chapter 23, verse 8. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. So let us not be hung up on labels and titles. Let us honor the gift. As I said, the gift of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, these are essential. Let us honor the gift in people and in teams, because we need that. Right, and the other thing is that this list is not exhaustive. This list of five offices, this is not all that Jesus has got for his church. So if you'll read with me in Romans chapter 12, Paul says, Romans chapter 12 from verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So there are these other gifts as well. So Jesus gives gifts to his church so that the whole church can be built up and can grow. And one of the central messages that I want you to take home with you today is that every one of you is a gift from Jesus to the church. Every one of you has got something to give to the church, not just to this church, the local church, but the global church. So as every nation, we have five core values. Anybody want to volunteer one of them? Lordship is number one. Discipleship. Family. Leadership. Evangelism. Leadership is one I want to focus on this morning. So clearly these five offices are offices of leading. But one of our core values is that everybody must be a leader. Everybody can be someone that influences someone else's life. So the model of church hierarchy often that we see in the modern day church is one like this, with some rock star dude at the top. But our model is like this, where the leaders are at the bottom. They're not necessarily the ones that are so easily seen. And they're raising up others into positions of leadership. Because we can all, I promise you this, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, we can all be leaders, and we should and must all be leaders. And a leader is just someone else. A leader is someone that others are following. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And every one of us, as a disciple, we are followers of Jesus. That's what we say and we do in this church. We say we follow Jesus together. And each one of us must be looking for others that will follow him or her. So that's the first important point. You are all a gift from Jesus to the church. And I pray that as you explore that, as you look to discover what your particular, the particular way in which you can help the church, I pray that you will grow in that. Right, let's go back to Ephesians. I just also wanted to read from verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So each one of us has received this gift. And it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And Jesus is generous. He gives so much and he gives these gifts. Right. So Jesus is interested in our works and the fruit that we bear. That it says that that these gifts are given to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And we should all be involved in the work of the ministry. But it's not just those that are in the pews, the leaders, those who that fulfill that office, that fivefold office of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They must also be involved in the work. And Jesus wants us to grow in our works, in the seven letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. Jesus starts off, in five of those, he starts off and he says, I know your works. So Jesus is looking out for our works and to see how we grow in those. And then it talks about a common destination. Where are we going with this? From verse 13, Paul writes, he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants each one of us to grow up to be like Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, he says, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become like his Son. Isn't that a cool thing, to be able to grow up to be like Jesus? Last week, Matt spoke about how we're all going to the same place. We're on a plane together going to one destination. And everybody is welcome to get on board. We have a common destination, that is to be united, to grow up together into maturity. And we pray a lot about revival. We ask God, revive us, revive your church. Revival will not happen without unity in the church. Let me read that again. So until we all attain to the unity of the faith, there will not be any revival until there's unity. Not just in this church, but among this church and other churches, until different streams of faith, different denominations come together. And there will not be any unity without humility. Matt spoke about that last week. May we have a walk worthy of the calling to which he has called us, with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Those are my three pain points in life. Humility, gentleness, and patience. Lord, help me to be more humble, more gentle, and more patient. So humility will bring about unity, and unity will bring about revival. This is what Paul wants for the church, and what he prays for, and we are on that journey. Okay, and then we get to the wonderful word, grow up. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into every way, into him who is the head, into Christ. And I've got a few sayings here about growing up, which, if they're not there, I'm going to have to find here. Excuse me with my papers. Okay, all right, there we go. Okay, so what part must each one of us play? We must grow up. We must speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth is very, very important. Please make sure when you do, you speak it in love. I love this thing where he talks about this joint. I think it's verse 15. He says, the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Remember that the fivefold gifts are gifts to the body so that it may be equipped. And now he says, well, here there's something else by which the body is equipped, and that's the joint. So when people say to me, well, which part of the fivefold ministry are you? I say, I'm not one, any one of those. I'm a joint. I like to be a joint, one that connects people, one that brings people together, one that promotes unity. Why are you laughing at me? It's such a glorious thing to bring churches together, to bring people together. On Friday, I was in the Eastern Cape. Our churches in Port Elizabeth, the Nelson Mandela Metro, send their love and greetings. We are building cathedrals in the township, places that can accommodate 300-400 people that will be lighthouses to those township areas. I went up to Adelaide and Bedford to meet with some of our brothers and sisters in Christ there, and God's on the move. But let's also be on the move. Let's be connecting people. Let's be joining people together. So be a joint. And now it says that the body of Christ builds itself up together when each part is doing its work properly. So you have a role to play. You're a gift to the body of Christ, but you must play your role. So I've got a couple of sayings here as part of grow up. Firstly, you must pitch up. Thank you for pitching up this morning to church on a cold, wintry day. Pitching up is so important in the kingdom of God. Just being at church, being at a prayer meeting, meeting someone for coffee, being involved in discipling one another. Pitch up, pay up, Because contributing to your local church is important. Contributing to the needs of the saints is important. Speak up in prayer and encouragement and in your testimony. Brush up. I had to squeeze this in somehow. Brush up on your knowledge of the Word. Embed the Word of God in your heart. Step up into a leadership role. As I said, each one of us can be and should be a leader. And then let go. Let go of your ego. Let go of your fears. Let go of your insecurities. Let go of your unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is poison to the soul. Let go of your unforgiveness. Let go of your guilt. Let go of your shame. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Let us lay it aside. Let us let go of that. I wanted also to remind us, talking about this gift of, or this office of being a teacher. So it's repeated in Romans chapter 12. So it's a gift there as well. But remember that Jesus in the Great Commission said, go into the whole world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. The Great Commission, which includes making disciples, and a key part of that is teaching. Now, in our movement, we have this beautiful and brilliant and amazing little book, which we use in our discipleship process. And every one of us can be involved in taking an unbeliever or a new believer, even a mature believer, through this book. I think there are about 12 weeks. And this is something that we promote in our follow groups, is going through this and doing basic discipleship with one another. So we can all be involved in that. So that's my prayer for us today, is that we would all realize that we are a gift to the church, and that we would all be inspired and encouraged to grow up as Christians. So that's my message. Can we stand and can we pray, please? Father, we thank you again that you're our wonderful Father. On this Father's Day, we celebrate you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given gifts to your church. Please remind us, Lord. Lord, Holy Spirit, you speak into our hearts every day. Please remind us that each and every one of us is a gift to the church, and that each and every one of us has a role to play. And Lord, this morning, together, we commit to grow up, to follow you, Lord Jesus, to become like you, to take one step after another, to be steadfast in walking this walk that you have given us. We commit ourselves to growing up. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.